Я бачу себе у кривих дзеркалах кам'яних джунглів великого міста. Вікна сліпі, б'є поранений птах. В калюжах бензину сполоханий місяць. Знайомі обличчя, знайомі думки. Останні вагони порожніх трамваїв. На бряклих очах сліпі ліхтарі. На бряклих очах лише квіти чекання. У-у-у-у-у. Кривих дзеркалах. Я бачу тебе у кривих дзеркалах, далеко-далеко, диво кохання, відблиски сонця в примарному сні, вітер надії на попіл бажань, мрії учора, сьогодні дороги, де під сірим асфальтом поховані боги, хмари і сонце, високі дерева, ми на драбині до неба. У-у-у-у-у, кривих дзеркалах. Твоїх місто. Па-ба-ра-ба-пам, ба-пам-бам, па-бам-бам-бам-бам-бай. Па-ба-ра-ба-пам, ба-пам-бам, па-бам-бам-бам-бам-бай. Па-ба-ра-ба-пам, ба-пам-бам, па-бам-бам-бам-бам-бай. Па-ба-ра-ба-пам, ба-пам-бам, па-бам-бам-бам-бам-бай. А ти бачиш світ у кривих дзеркалах, телеекрану та радіохвилі. І ти маєш щось у своїх думках, але не маєш на це ні грошей, ні сил. Але мрій сьогодні, завтра дороги, де під сірим асфальтом будуть втомлені боги. Хмари і сонце, високі дерева, ми на драбині, ми на драбині. У-у-у-у-у, кривих дзеркалах.
And a group from Ukraine that I would say pioneered, was one of the pioneers of an ethno-pop fusion sound from Ukraine that's since become very popular and prolific. That, of course, was Mandre, and the song was Misto, which means town. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. З вами Павіна Макворі, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you from Vancouver Island on the west coast of Canada, courtesy PCJ Radio. I'm your host, Paulette Demchik-McCory, Pokrinske Pavina, and I'm delighted to have you with me. We've got a great program lined up for you. We have news from Ukraine, quite an extensive coverage. As well, we've got Ukrainian Jewish heritage and a look at some of the Jewish heritage buildings in Lviv. As well, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Calgary, Alberta. They are a young polka band by the name of Zhito, which means rye, and a song called Bida, which means misery. And it's a song about the inevitable trials and tribulations of your golden years when the spirit is willing, but the body just really isn't up to the task. Here's Zhito now with Bida, Misery.
Bida, Прем'єра старий дід, о як пеньок, а ще хоче до лівон. Ой, біда, ой, біда, 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 а я баба молода. Ой, біда, ой, біда, 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 а я баба молода. Ожене все старий дід, узяв баба 40 літ. Полягали вони спать, став комедію шукати. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Шукав, не знайшов, узяв плюнув та й пішов. Він шукав і всю ніч, плюнув та й поліз за піч. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Бабо іздуріла, де комедію поділа. Чи ти дід з дуба пав, ти ж не там і шукав. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Баба як холєра, а ще хоче кабалєра. Старий дід, о як пеньок, а ще хоче до дівок. Ой, біда, а я баба молода. Ой, біда, а я баба молода.
The 19th annual Bloor West Village Toronto Ukrainian Festival, one of the world's largest Ukrainian street festivals, will be in full swing September 18th to 20th. Enjoy great food, cultural displays, and non-stop performers from across North America, plus the headlining band Ot Vinta from Ukraine. Enjoy the Children's Midway, sidewalk sale, vendors, films, and more. This year, win a trip for two to Kyiv. Check ukrainianfestival.com for further details and catch the Ukrainian spirit. Brought to you by Ukrainian Culture Festival, the Government of Canada, and the Government of Ontario.
Yeah.
That was Trio Maksimovich with Halya, kind of a sad song, a traditional Ukrainian folk song going back quite a few centuries, actually, about a young girl who gets lured into the woods by a couple of dastardly Cossacks and meets a very unpleasant fate there in the woods. Trio Maksimovich and Halya. Coming up next, Rozhenetsya, a new group from Ukraine, a girl group singing in the Billy Hollis style, which means pure voice. That goes back to prehistoric times, that particular vocal style. And this is a song that's on a little bit of a happier note. It's a song about unrequited love, but it's not quite so tragic. And yet, here they are now, Rozhenetsya with Kalina Malina.
Калина малина, чого ж ти не цвітеш?
Чого ж ти, козачі, до мене не йдеш?
Раз, два, кітарі, та раз, та два.
Чого ж ти, козачі, до мене не йдеш?
Раз, два, кітарі, та раз, та два.
Чого ж ти, козачі, до мене не йдеш?
Чого ж ти до мене вчора не прийшов?
Зайшов на крилечко, так дощик пішов.
Що не було.
Раз, два, кітарі, та раз, та два.
Я вчора гуляла, до що не було.
Раз, два, кітарі, та раз, та два.
Я вчора гуляла, до що не було. Обдуриш, козаче, і матір свою.
Я вчора проводив подружку мою.
Раз, два, кітарі, та раз, та два.
Ти вчора
Слухайте радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння по мережі PCJ Radio, яка подається вам англійською мовою з Британської Колумбії в Канаді. You're listening to «Наш голос» Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Up next, a look at Ukraine's rich Jewish heritage, then and now. Brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario.
Welcome to Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Peter Baeger. Architecture and memory. Restoration and commemoration. Cities and towns throughout Europe after the Holocaust have grappled with the issue of historic Jewish sites. Buildings once alive with dynamic communities can now sit in ruins. How can these haunted places be properly reintegrated into the contemporary life of cities? What do you need to consider? And what do you need to remember? The Western Ukrainian website Zahi.net recently featured a lively dialogue on these issues. Dr. Sergei Krautsev of Hebrew University in Jerusalem and Dr. Sofia Diak of the Center for Urban History of East Central Europe in Lviv explored the challenges. Krautsev, a specialist in synagogue architecture, was born, trained, and worked as an urban planner and architect in Lviv. Both he and Dr. Diak have been involved in the discussions around Lviv's historic Golden Rose Synagogue. This architectural landmark was destroyed by the Nazis in the Second World War. Krautsev have noted that Jewish neighborhoods have been wiped off the map of Central and Eastern Europe. However, thanks to history, memory, and art, a mental map of this Jewish world remains. The possibility to transform this mental map into a meaningful and attractive urban space depends on several factors. First of all, current residents in a city, and for the most part they are now not Jewish, should recognize and accept the value of this history and memory. Secondly, this current generation needs to express its attitude to the historical rupture through which Jewish districts were left empty. Thirdly, this generation should find the adequate social, artistic, architectural, and urban planning means to express their will. This is often through a grassroots movement helped by enlightened public and private benefactors. This happens throughout Europe, and one can turn to experience in Poland, the Czech Republic, Germany, and Italy. Krautsev points to a positive example in Vienna, the Judenplatz. This complex creatively combined a memorial to Nazi victims along with the recovered ruins of a medieval Jewish synagogue destroyed in the 15th century. Urban planners found a place for everything. The citizens of Lviv can act creatively with the ruins of the Golden Rose Synagogue. Of course, this all should be discussed with the Jewish communities of Lviv and those descended from Lviv who have left but maintain contact with the city. There have been extensive discussions to rebuild the Golden Rose Synagogue. But Krautsev concedes reconstruction is a very radical step and requires the consensus of all of society. The community should ask itself, what do they mean to say in the reconstruction of the synagogue? And one should be frank in the search for answers. Also, communities should understand the meaning of the gradual ruination of the Golden Rose, a building cut adrift. It is theoretically and technically possible to rebuild synagogue. There are successful precedents in Europe for the reconstruction of ruined synagogues. But ultimately, why is it important to preserve Lviv's, or indeed Ukraine's, Jewish heritage? Is it possible to preserve and raise awareness of the history of the Jews and Jewish heritage as a component of a country's history and heritage? Krautsev believes the Jewish heritage of Lviv is important to preserve for the same reason one should preserve every heritage. A heritage is preserved for its value and transmission to posterity. There are those who want to remove any traces of something that has no right to exist in their imagined future. The Nazis acted in this manner. This barbaric manner of thinking must be eradicated through education. The recognition of the Jewish heritage as an element in the joint history and heritage of a city is a complex issue. People can work together to abandon divisions and stereotypes. They can cultivate within themselves a tolerance and curiosity about the other and avoid value judgments. Experience shows that through goodwill, communities can move forward to inclusive attitudes on commonly appreciated memorial spaces. This has been Ukrainian Jewish Heritage on Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. From San Francisco, I'm Peter Baeger. Until next time, Shalom.
Ukrainian Jewish Heritage is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative, based in Toronto, Ontario. To find out more, visit them at ukrainianjewishencounter.org and follow them on Facebook and Twitter. For transcripts and audio files of this and earlier broadcasts of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, please visit the Nash Holos website, www.nashholos.com.
Міста повернусь до того села, де моя доля весела й не зла, на мене чекає моя мала.
У місто приїхав зомлів от краси, від вроди дівочої рвуться труси, та не введуть у оману тіла, на мене чекає моя мала. До нитки роздягнуть, не лишать гроша, як глянеть журнальний холодна душа, моделів гламурних так доля зберегла, на мене чекає моя мала. І клубів неон, що крок то спокуса, та Богу хвала, на мене чекає моя мала.
Моя мала, моя мала, з міста повернусь до того села, де моя доля весела і не зла, на мене чекає моя мала.
Ми прощаємось з вами і сподіваємося, що ви отримали положительний культурологічний шок. З вами була група Коні Айленд та Антін Мухацький.
And that was a musical acquisition courtesy my friend and colleague in Kyiv, Roman Shved, who does a program on the National Radio Company of Ukraine called Neni u Romane Yaharni Hosti, which means today Roman has nice guests. And that artist was Antin Mukharski, and the song was Moya Mala. And if you had that thing, I know that song. What is that song? It's not a Ukrainian song. It's an American song. What is it? Well, I won't keep you in suspense, of course. If you don't recognize that song, it's Praise the Lord, I Saw the Light. Up next, a group from Winnipeg called Siege. And this is from their CD called Home of the Cossacks, and that is a Zaporozhian Siege, and that is very close to where the fighting is going on right now in modern-day Ukraine. And this album was recorded a few years ago with probably not even the slightest inkling that there would be a war again in that part of the world. Here is Siege now with an original composition called Back to the Siege.
Thank you. they sang,
go back
to the siege,
to the siege,
home of the Cossacks.
Go back
to the siege,
to the siege,
in the heart of Ukraine.
Kneel down and pray. The hetman must lead them to war on this day. From the left and the right, we'll pull the forces in. We'll defend our precious steps till the end. We'll
go back
to the siege,
to the siege,
home of the Cossacks.
We'll
go
back
to the siege,
to the siege,
in the heart of Ukraine.
Now the latest news stories from Ukraine, courtesy Ukraine's first international English news channel, Ukraine Today.
Combined Russia separatist forces on August 14th shelled Ukrainian army positions in East Ukraine 170 times, the highest number of attacks since Russia invaded Donbass last April. Ukrainian military spokesman said most of the shelling took place near Donetsk, using 120mm caliber artillery banned under the February ceasefire. In total, the ceasefire was broken 175 times, 25 times using artillery, 64 times by mortar fire, 19 times by multiple rocket systems, and 93 times by small arms fire.
The Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe Deputy Chief Monitor in Ukraine, Alexander Hug, says more security must be provided for the mission in eastern Ukraine. Hug was visiting Horlivka, a town controlled by the Ukrainian government, located near the city of Donetsk, which is under the occupation of Russian-backed militants. His visit came as the situation in Ukraine's east became more intense, with both sides of the conflict blaming each other for ceasefire violations.
But as the incidents earlier this morning elsewhere in the region illustrate, security must be provided everywhere at all times so that we have unrestricted and unhindered freedom of access anywhere on both sides of the contact line.
Hug, along with other OSCE monitors, spoke with residents of Horlivka, some of whom expressed their disillusionment with the mission and the prospects for an end to the 16-month conflict. We think, we hope that it changes, but when you watch on television how the OSCE monitors drive around and ask questions, but in fact it's useless, we wish it would change for the better. The recent upsurge in fighting in East Ukraine has drawn expressions of concern among Western governments who see a ceasefire and tentative peace agreement worked out in Minsk, Belarus last February as still the best chance of ending the conflict.
This is the very final position of the Ukrainian soldiers on the road leading to the Donetsk city. Actually, one can see the city limits from here. They're just some 700 meters away. The fighting here never stops. The floor is littered with empty shells. And the soldiers on this position say that the six-month-long truce isn't really a truce.
I think that this peace deal is nothing. You hear? Every night, every day, such things. They're using tanks, they're using artillery, they're using grads, they use everything they use to kill our soldiers and the people which lives in the villages.
Semen is a former MP of a local council in northern Ukraine. When the war began, he was a volunteer, bringing food and other supplies to the soldiers in the war zone. And then he decided to take a weapon and start fighting himself.
Every man, when the war comes to his door, must take weapon and go for war.
And this is exactly what another fighter of the Dnipro battalion did. The war came to Miron's door quite literally. He was born and lived his entire life in Donetsk. In May of last year, when Russia-backed militants filled his hometown, he fled and joined the volunteer battalion.
And you're right now, several hundred meters away from Donetsk, from your home city. How do you feel?
It's not a good feeling. Because more than 1 year I'm here. I can see my home. But I cannot go there. It's not good feeling.
And with such bitter feeling, being several hundred meters away from home and not being able to go there, Miron continues fighting. Fighting in the war for his hometown and for his country. In the war, which is not being called a war. During a truce, which is not a truce at all. This is Volodymyr Soloub, Sergei Kiselyov and Sergei Rigorchuk reporting from Donetsk region for Ukraine Today.
When you're on, Ukraine's top military prosecutor Anatoly Matyos has said the correlation of Ukrainian troops to combined Russian separatist forces near Ilovaisk in late August 2014 was 1 to 18. Matyos said the enemy had 11 times more tanks, 16 times more APCs, 15 times more artillery pieces, and 16 times more mortars. Some 366 Ukrainian servicemen were killed during fierce fighting for the strategically vital town when Ukrainian volunteer fighters came under direct fire from the Russian military. The Kremlin implausibly denies any involvement in the invasion, which has since drawn worldwide condemnation.
Calling the situation in eastern Ukraine explosive, Germany's foreign minister Frank-Walter Steinmeier urged both sides in the conflict to come together quickly for talks to prevent a spiral in violence. In a newspaper interview on Sunday, Steinmeier said he proposed in talks with his Ukrainian and Russian-backed forces sit down urgently with representatives from the OSCE to try to reduce tensions. There is a lot at stake if both parties in the conflict don't return to the peace process now. A new military escalation spiral could be triggered at any time, Steinmeier said. A peace deal signed in mid-February in the Belarusian capital Minsk has eased fighting, but never ended the violence in eastern Ukraine, with Kyiv and the militants trading blame over the past week for repeated violations of the ceasefire. Last Monday, Ukraine accused the Russian-backed militants of carrying out the heaviest artillery attacks on government positions near the port city of Mariupol in half a year. The militants have denied attacking government troops.
Ukrainian soldiers preparing for war, trained by the British military, exercises in detecting possible ambushes, basics in first aid on the battlefield, and tactics in urban warfare formed part of the 10-day course. Here at this army base in the Ukrainian city of Zhytomyr, there are 300 Ukrainian troops, and this is just the start. They are using such tactics in areas of the East Ukraine combat zone, so we decided a shooting course to teach the soldiers how to fire from behind cover, such as a tank or armored personnel carrier. In another drill, a group of men move across the bridge, checking for hidden explosives or other traps, all under the guise of instructors.
And we teach them such things as how to occupy a building and build a defensive position, how to judge distance in an urban environment, and how to conduct vehicle searches.
The Ukrainian soldiers also received an old British Saxon armoured vehicle. Now it's used for aerial reconnaissance missions. This equipment is vital in any conflict, especially in one against the Russian army. Our programmers, Ukrainian guys, have developed a software to speed up calculations before firing artillery. This vehicle is like our central position, and different other means of gathering intelligence are added to this. The British-led military training exercises come just over a week after the UK's Defence Secretary Michael Fallon warned that the situation in East Ukraine remains, quote, red hot, pledging to provide support necessary to Ukrainian government forces. The foreign instructors say the exercises were successful. With no end in sight for the war, it seems this military cooperation will continue to grow for some time yet.
The Malaysian government has expressed the need to start an alternative investigation into the shooting down of Malaysian Airlines flight MH17 over eastern Ukraine, according to local news outlets. The Malaysian Minister of Transport has said that the case should be submitted to the International Criminal Court. Russia has recently vetoed a UN Security Council resolution to establish an international tribunal to prosecute those responsible for the tragedy.
A recent study conducted in Ukraine indicates that over the past 4 years, the numbers of supporters of Ukraine's integration into NATO has increased. In a poll conducted by the Kiev-based Ilko Kucherev Democratic Initiatives Foundation and the Razumkov Center, some 36% of respondents in 2015 cited joining NATO as the best security option for Ukraine. 29% said they supported the country's non-aligned status, and 23% of the respondents could not make up their mind on the issue. The majority of Ukrainians 3 years ago believed that neutral status was Ukraine's security guarantee. A substantial part of the population then saw the military alliance with Russia as the security solution. A referendum on joining NATO has tentatively been scheduled for this year. The idea would gain the support of some 64% of Ukrainians. In turn, 29% would vote against the move, and 8% remain undecided. Respondents said that among the reasons to support NATO membership were security issues and the belief that NATO would strengthen the Ukrainian army. Among the main reasons for voting against the move, the respondents named the fear that joining the alliance would draw Ukraine into NATO overseas military operations, and that NATO is an aggressive imperialist bloc.
When fighting a Russian-backed insurgency, good underwear is crucial. That's why these women in the Ukrainian capital Kiev are sewing hundreds of pairs of the clothing item for soldiers stationed in East Ukraine. The entire operation is voluntary, with some even going so far as to donate their own money and fabrics to aid the cause. Founder Alexandra explained the evolution of the initiative. At the beginning, we were a bit conservative. We thought that since it's underwear, boys might be shy to wear something which is, so to speak, non-traditional. But then we received comments from the front line, and the boys actually started ordering more funny underpants. And we realized that the underwear isn't simply an everyday thing, but it's something that cheers them up. The seamstresses meet weekly in the hall of a Kiev military hospital. They joined forces with volunteers who bring their creations to the east, where Ukrainian soldiers have been fighting Russian-backed militants for some 16 months. Pensioner Zhana Shnurenko, who joined the initiative from the very beginning, said if it's possible to make the life of soldiers easier, then that's what she will continue to do. I have a son who is not drafted at the moment. Not everyone is drafted this time. I believe that if my child stays at home, then I must help a child who does not stay at home, who stays there on the front line. I can work until 4 or 5 a.m. because I believe it is more difficult for them there. The homemade underwear appears to have gone down well with civilians too, with the volunteers recently selling some of their wares at a market fundraiser in the Ukrainian capital. Since the initiative began, the women say they have made over 5,000 pairs of underpants. It's an undertaking which has become one of the many crucial volunteer projects which have sprung up since the conflict in East Ukraine began.
And with that, we've come to the end of this week's Ukraine News Roundup. For more breaking stories on Ukraine, follow Ukraine Today on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and their live blog at uatoday.tv. Vyslúchajte radio programu Náš holos Radio Ukrajinského Koriňa po mreži PCJ Radio, jaká podajete vám anglickou mluvou z Britanskou Kolumbii v Kanadě. You're listening to Náš holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, coming to you on the PCJ Radio Network from Vancouver Island in beautiful British Columbia, Canada. Ukrainian folk song Oy Marichko, performed by Toronto polka band Zirka. Up next, from Winnipeg, Manitoba, the Ukrainian Old Timers and the Sweet Fern Waltz. very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio, in Vancouver on Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time on AM 1320 CHMB and streaming at am1320.com. Live in Nanaimo, Wednesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Pacific Time on CHLY 101.7 FM and online at chly.ca. And elsewhere in the world on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio. In between broadcasts, you can find us online at www.nashholos.com, where you can get links to podcast feeds of all three editions of the show. As well, make sure to follow Nash Holos on Twitter, and please like our Facebook page. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому і сказати до побачення, але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Хто менше говорить, той більше робить. And our proverb of the week translates as, whoever talks less accomplishes more. Well, that just about wraps it up for another edition of Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. To take us to the end of our program, Prairie Crocus, also from Winnipeg and the Liberty Two-Step. I'm Pavlina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and PCJ Radio, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, do побачення.